Well, here we are, same place we are every year. As we roll into July, we start to see some of that summer heat and humidity. The rain just doesn't seem to come on regular intervals like we'd want, and it kind of has an effect on lawns and gardens and all of that outdoor stuff. And we want to talk a little bit about how to mitigate some of that in the summer heat here with Aaron Stile, who's an Iowa State University Extension Consumer Horticulture Extension Specialist. Aaron, thank you so much for the time today.
Yeah, happy to be here.
Yeah, we could just wash, rinse, and repeat this same information pretty much every year because we always seem to run into this in the middle of the summer.
Yeah, it feels a little early to be this warm, but it probably isn't really off that too very much.
Yeah, when we hit these high temperatures, you know, it's tough on things. You would think in Iowa that a lot of the plants and things that we put in our gardens would be pretty hardy, but you know, when they don't get enough water and the heat just gets to them just the way it gets to us as humans, right?
Yeah, it does. It absolutely does. And the plants that are impacted the most are those that have limited root systems, which tend to be things in containers, so hanging baskets and annuals in containers, things like that. It's also newly planted perennials, shrubs, and trees. In particular, those trees, we sometimes forget that these trees and shrubs that were planted this spring, most of their roots are still just in that original root ball, and that can dry out really quickly. And then our vegetables tend to be pretty shallow rooted and not as extensive as perennials and, of course, woody plants are. And so these three groups of plants probably need the most attention when temperatures get really warm, in particular as it relates to watering.
Sure. Okay, now you use this, you said really warm. So what is really warm? When should we start to be a little concerned?
Yeah, so the magic number for plants is 86 degrees, and it doesn't mean that plants start to see problems at 86 degrees, but that is the point in which plants, up until 86 degrees, the rate of photosynthesis, which creates food, and respiration, which uses it, goes up with the temperature. But after 86 degrees, the rate of photosynthesis starts to go down, but the rate of respiration using the food continues to go up. And so the further we get from 86 degrees, the larger that gap is. The plants have to rely on stored food reserves. And if that goes on for quite a while, it can be really stressful.
Yeah. Do warm nighttime temperatures make that much of a difference if there's not a lot of change between daytime and nighttime?
Yeah, that also can play a role in that too, because then there's not even a reprieve. And some plants are adapted to do a lot of their respiration and gas exchange at night. And so if it remains warm at night, that doesn't help them as much as it normally would.
Yeah. The high humidities, when we start to see 80, 90% humidity, is that a positive or a negative for these plants?
You know, most plants do like higher humidity. That extra moisture is helpful, but it can reduce the water movement in the plant if it's super high. We don't see that a ton here in Iowa. I think for us, we are the ones that are more uncomfortable when the humidity gets really high.
Amen to that. Very good. Well, those are the problems that we can run into. So what are some of the solutions? How do we mitigate those issues?
Yeah, the first and probably most critical thing is to keep an eye on those vegetables, newly planted things, hanging baskets and containers, and water as soon as the soil for those plants is dried out. And we see the soil dry out faster in many cases because we see more evaporation from the soil surface. And as temperatures go up, the rate at which all plants lose water as part of their processes, that rate goes up as well. And so looking in at watering, checking in on those plants and watering when things are dry are probably some of the most important things. And then related to that is conserving moisture where possible. So putting down mulch to help cover the soil surface, which reduces the amount that's lost to evaporation. And it also can help keep the root zone a little bit cooler, which would reduce stress on the plants too.
So a little bit of water goes a long way in the heat. How about shade? Because, you know, as humans, we love water and we love shade when it's hot out. Do plants respond to that?
Yeah, they can. This is particularly helpful for things that are in containers. The containers can dry out so quickly. And in, later on in the summer, it's not unusual to water a hanging basket twice a day because it dries out so quickly because plants are so large. And if these plants are in full sun, it's pretty easy to move them to a shadier location, even if it's just temporarily during the short heat wave, can really help reduce the water need, which reduces your work watering and also the amount of water you end up using.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If we have some of those potted plants and flowers and things, if we just, for example, just move them into the garage for a little while, I mean, you still want to have them get some sun, but if you move them into the garage for a while, would that help?
Potentially. You probably don't need to move them indoors, but I think about things that I haven't planted yet. And when we get to, you know, I'm pretty guilty of buying things at the garden center and not getting it in the ground right away. And so when I see these plants, this isn't the time to plant them. It's really hard to keep after their watering when they're out in the garden. So this is where I move those containers to a temporary shady location. Hopefully it's near the hose to make things easier. And that can make all the difference for even those sun-loving plants that you would think need to be in more sun. A couple of days in a shadier spot isn't really a big issue.
Sure. Well, one of the notes I see here, it says avoid additional stress. Well, that's good advice for a human being. How do we avoid stress for plants?
So it is helpful to do things like delay fertilizing. I've mentioned planting. That's another pretty stressful event. Transplanting, division, all of those kinds of things. In most cases, with transplanting, planting, and division, we're reducing the size of the root system, which means it's not as capable of pulling up the water that might be needed. With something like fertilizing, we're promoting a lot of growth at a time when the plant is already struggling to keep up. And so we don't want to exacerbate that by promoting all that new growth and making it even harder for the plant to stay well hydrated.
Yeah, the problem is when we get these high temperatures, we don't see regular, we don't see regular rain anyway. It would be wonderful if we got like an inch every week, but it just doesn't happen like that. And we need to mitigate some of those issues there too. But yeah, if we can do something just to provide a little bit of extra out there to just give them a break from some of the direct sun and the heat that comes along with it. It's just kind of about managing the area, right?
Yeah, it absolutely is. And we do see the stress on plants in different ways. So in the vegetable garden, we often see maybe some wilting, but we'll also see a reduction in production. So things like cucumbers and later on in the season when tomatoes and peppers are starting to ripen, those things tend to slow down or you don't get as much produced. Often when temperatures get really warm, the flowers are damaged and they may drop off before they set fruit. And so in these really hot stretches, especially when the temperatures get above 95, you won't see as many zucchini coming out of your garden as you normally would. We just kind of have to wait until temperatures cool off. But they do, and then we can get back into maybe a more reliable, abundant harvest.
So is it fair to say that to a certain extent, a lot of these flowers and plants do have their own built-in mechanisms to deal with it to a stage, but they're all going to react a little bit differently?
Yeah, no, that is very true. You know, dropping flowers and fruit require a lot of energy from the plant. And so if things are stressful, where the plant will drop those things so it doesn't have to deal with that during those really stressful times. Another way we see this is in our lawns, our cool season lawns, the Kentucky bluegrass and the fescues that are really common in lawns across Iowa. These plants don't love hot temperatures. And so one of the things they do to deal with it is they go dormant. So the leaf dies back, it turns brown, but the crown of the plant and the root system stays alive. And it can sit like that for some time while things are warm. We can water to help keep it from going into dormancy, but it takes a lot of water to do that. And in the heat of the summer, turning on a sprinkler also can use a lot of water and lose it through evaporation and things like that. So we can take advantage of that and let our lawn go dormant for several weeks when it's super hot, and it should most lawns can go dormant for 4 to 6 weeks with no long-term damage to the lawn. And then when temperatures cool down, the lawn can green up again, and you can enjoy it anyway. You're probably not out playing croquet in 98 degrees anyway. So,
well, if we're out providing some water, but maybe not enough to keep it fully green, are we doing more damage then? Does the lawn kind of get confused? Should it be dormant? Should it continue to try to work through a summer? Or, you know, if we can't do a complete job, are we doing it more harm than good?
It is usually best to let it go dormant and stay dormant for some time. Sometimes the heat wave or the drought can last longer than 6 weeks. And in that case, we would give it a really deep, thorough watering. It'll green up again, and then you can start the cycle over again. But kind of doing a light watering on an infrequent basis promotes a more shallow root system, which isn't drought tolerant anyway, and can really cause a lot of stress because the plant is sort of going dormant, and then it's not, it starts growing again, and then it starts to go dormant. It is pretty hard on the plant. So if you're willing to let your lawn go dormant, which is a nice thing to do, it saves a lot of water too. Let it stay there for several weeks or until the temperatures moderate more, and then pull it out of dormancy by watering.
Yeah, many of us want the best looking lawn in the neighborhood or the best garden, the nicest looking flower beds and what have you. But, you know, sometimes you just got to let nature take its course.
Yeah, exactly. And most folks do struggle having a really good looking lawn in the middle of summer because of the grasses that are used to grow our lawns. And the only reason the golf courses look like that is because they have a huge irrigation pond that they're using constantly to keep it well watered.
Absolutely. Well, very good. And no matter what we do out there, we want to make sure we do it safely too, because if it's hot and muggy for those plants, it's hot and muggy for us too. So we want to make sure while we're out taking care of them, we're taking care of ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely. Sunscreen, big hats. There's a kind of a meme almost of a gardener in a big hat, and it's a good idea to protect your neck and your head from intense sun. Working in the morning, drinking plenty of water, these are all really beneficial things for the gardener too. Of course, we have things we want to do outside, so doing them smartly is a very good idea.
Yeah, and if you can't grow the perfect tomato in the backyard, there's always the local farmer's market.
Exactly. That's a great place to get local produce, for sure.
You bet. Well, Aaron Stile is with us this morning with Iowa State University Extension. He's a consumer horticultural extension specialist, and he's got all kinds of good ideas for us to and our lawns to survive this warm spell here in the middle of summer. Aaron, thank you so much for the time today. Appreciate it. Enjoy your summer.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks for having me.